If you study Talmud, you understand that the Jewish tradition is a tradition of argument. I remember reading several years ago that the Hasidic Rabbi Avram Twersky said that when he was at the yeshiva, one time he took issue with his rabbi, thought that he was wrong about something. And his rabbi grew animated and delighted. He said, "You're right. You're right. You're 100% right. Now let me tell you why you're wrong." And that idea, not just that we argue, but that we get to tell rabbis that they're wrong, that might happen today. Because I'm going to talk about something that I think is very important and very topical, about which there will be very deeply held different opinions. So I want you to know that obviously I think I'm right in what I'm going to say, but I recognize that this is one opinion among many. I invite you to argue with me later. And that it's an important discussion and debate, and one certainly that the Jewish people should engage in. And that is the question of torture. As you know, in America right now, there is a very powerful debate about whether we should torture detainees to get information because of the report that was just issued. Now, I don't want to talk about the report, and I don't want to talk about the politics involved. I want to talk about the question of whether it is moral to torture prisoners to get information. Because this is a very important question here, and it's an important question in Israel. And one thing that I want to point out at the beginning is this is not a political question. That is, there are people from the right who think no, and people from the left who think yes. John McCain and David Petraeus, and this morning in the Wall Street Journal, Peggy Noonan, all very respected figures of the right, all argued against it. Any number of Democratic senators have argued for it. And so I want to ask ourselves the question from the beginning. But one thing that has struck me in this debate and reminds me again how difficult it is to have cognitive dissonance, that is, to be at odds with yourself, is the fact that everybody who argues on one side or the other somehow believes that the facts also support the position that they would take anyway. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. Everybody that I know who thinks it's immoral to torture prisoners also says, and by the way, it's not effective. You don't get good information. And everybody I know who thinks that it's okay to torture prisoners, they also say, and by the way, it works. And I found that fascinating. I didn't hear anyone say it's ineffective, but we should torture them anyway. And I didn't hear anybody say you get good information, but we still shouldn't torture. And this reminds me that when you hold an opinion, you decide that the facts of the world support your opinion, and you filter out all the facts that seem to go against it. Now, I have read pretty carefully debates on both sides, and this is how at least it appears to me. And then I want to bring it back to the Joseph story. Because for the first time this year, I realized that when Joseph was in an Egyptian prison, he wasn't tortured. Interesting, isn't it? And apparently neither was the cupbearer or the baker. It doesn't say anything about having been tortured. And not only that, but when Joseph gets out of prison and is angry at his brothers and could torture them, he doesn't. Which I found a fascinating little glimpse, but would not have occurred to me if this weren't the debate. The person I listen to most carefully, whether you like him or not, was John McCain. Because he is the only political figure that I know of who was tortured. For 5.5 years, he was in a Vietnamese prison. And they tortured him unmercifully. So that to this day, he suffers from disabilities, physical disabilities, because of the torture. And this is what he has to say. He said, what I've learned about torture is when you torture someone, they will say anything to make the pain stop. Sometimes they'll tell you the truth, sometimes they'll tell you a lie, they'll tell you anything, though, that they think the interrogator wants to hear. So he both thinks it's immoral and thinks that it doesn't work. And he points out that the most recent CIA director, John Brennan, said, we got information, but we can't say for sure whether any of the good information came from torture or not. And that the former CIA director, David Petraeus, said, you get much better information by being the prisoner's friend than by being his torturer. And that's why in police work all over the world, you have good cop, bad cop. Because psychological pressure and friendship works better. But even more, this morning in the Wall Street Journal, Peggy Noonan wrote about the fact that many years ago she was speaking to the pollster Robert Teeter. And he said that there is still an anti-Japanese prejudice in America, which is not true of other adversaries in World War II. And he believes that it's due to the fact that during World War II, Japanese tortured American prisoners, and that they came home and told that story. And that torture has repercussions that can last for generations, because the idea that your enemy tortured you is worse in some ways than that they tried to kill you. So one of the things that I ask myself is, does America do itself long-term good or long-term damage? And what effect does it have on Americans who are captured in other countries? I don't know how many of you saw the movie Rosewater, but it's about an Iranian-American journalist who is captured in Iran and is thought of as a spy. And he is interrogated for a long time, and some of the interrogation was very difficult, but they never tortured him. They didn't waterboard him in Iran, interestingly enough. Now, had their interrogators read the CIA report and thought that Americans tortured Iranians, would they have tortured him? Because after all, people all over the world have many of the same mechanisms. And if they feel they're being badly treated, then they tend to turn around and treat others badly. The premise behind all of this, and the thing that makes it Jewish, is this. I think that almost everybody in this room feels like if you had to torture someone to get information to save the lives of Americans that were in danger, most of us would probably say, do it. Not all. Some would still say no. But most of us would probably say, do it, and I have a great deal of sympathy for the CIA interrogators who thought they were trying to prevent another 9/11. That's, after all, what they were trying to do. And in one way or another, seemed to have succeeded. But here is what we have to remember. The Jewish lesson from all this, whether you think it's justifiable or not justifiable, and that's why I laid out some of the case, because I think this is an argument. I don't think this is, oh, it's obvious that this is the only way to think about it. But what we do have to think about is that morality is generally what is hard, not what is easy. Moral choices aren't made all the time precisely because they're difficult. If you have feelings of anger and revenge against somebody, then you have to ask yourself whether you're acting out of those instincts or out of a moral choice. And it's too easy to assume those two are the same. I'm angry, we should punish them. That's the moral thing to do. In fact, though, sometimes the moral thing to do is what's against your instinct, not what's for it. If after this sermon you want to shake my hand, that's a nice thing to do. It's not moral. If you want to hit me and you don't, that's a moral choice. That's the difference. So because part of me wants to say, of course we should torture these miserable human beings who would do this awful thing, I try to second guess myself because I know that my instinct and what is right are often not the same thing. And also I know that even according to the CIA's own report, almost a quarter, a little bit less than a quarter of the people who were tortured turned out to be innocent. And that's something that we have to understand as well. That when you gather in with a broad net a bunch of prisoners and torture them, inevitably some of the people that you hurt will not have done anything wrong. That's just the nature of human mistakes. We have to ask this question because it's a real live question for the West right now, for America, for Israel, for anyone who is trying very hard under a real serious assault to preserve Western society and Western values. And then the question is, in preserving Western values, how much can we violate Western values? We will some. That's the nature of war. But how much? This is a question that is a profoundly moral question that we should be thinking about and debating and discussing with our children, with our friends, with our family, with our community. Is it effective? That's one question. But the deeper question for us is it moral? Is it right? How would you feel if you knew that Americans who were thought of as spies elsewhere were being tortured? What would it make you think about the society that tortured them? And then ask yourself, is that the way the rest of the world will think of us if we torture prisoners? It's not so easy. Not so easy. When you listen to one side or the other, it seems like they have a monopoly on the truth of this, but in a war, you have to be very clear thinking and driven, not just by passions. So back to the Joseph story. Joseph is called Yosef HaTzadik, Joseph the Righteous, and he doesn't start out that way. He starts out as a vain, self-centered, somewhat indifferent, and callous young man. Then he has a series of very difficult experiences. He gets thrown into the pit. He gets sold to the traitors. He gets thrown into jail. And it changes him. And every time he opens his mouth after that, almost without exception, he mentions God's name. Because Joseph has grown, and he's grown better, and he's grown so much better that when his brothers are in front of him and he wants to really do something painful, even though he does play with them a little bit, he restrains himself ultimately because he understands that growth means difficult choices. When you're faced with someone who wants to destroy you, you have to decide who you are. It's true for the Jewish people. It's true for Israel. It's true for America. What are your lines? What are your morals? What do you do when you see the people in front of you who threw you into a pit with the idea of killing you, which is, after all, what Joseph's brothers did? Most of them intended to kill him. It was just by luck that he was plucked from the pit and sold into slavery. So what do? Remember that because he didn't punish them, at the end of the story, Joseph gets to walk down from his throne and say, "I am Joseph, your brother." I think that it will be a very long time before the West and the enemies of the West come to that beautiful apotheosis and can put their arms around each other and say, I am Joseph, your brother. But until that time comes, we have to decide what kind of brother it is that we want to be. It's not easy, but it's important. And as Jews, we know that you cannot say that we're better unless you try to be better. The same is true for America. Whatever that means, it's not an easy choice. It's a moral choice. And as Americans and as Jews, it's our choice too. Shabbat Shalom.